This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Always we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify that none is worthy of worship but Allah azza wa jal, and that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I always remind myself and you of taqwa Allah azza wa jal, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inherits in you and I a heart that is loving of Him, fearing of Him, and having great hope in His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Earlier this morning, I was flicking through the news channels as I was getting ready to come to school, and I noticed that there was a large reference to the Paralympics. And subhanAllah, a few weeks back, all of us were plastered, I guess, with constant updates of the achievements of both Australian athletes and athletes from all around the world pushing the limits of the human body, doing as best as they can, and jumping and throwing, in swimming, in riding, in shooting. And all of these were things that, you know, were celebrated. And subhanAllah, today and in days, the Paralympics is another important competition that had me thinking about people from our history and tradition as Muslims who were impaired in their ability but exceeded those who were unimpaired in that ability. Some of the famous Sahaba, even some of you that are seated here, are given the names of some of these great men and women who lived in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some were unable to see. Some had deafness that was profound and they used to have to enunciate and be very careful in their speech. Some had speech impediments where they used to stammer or stutter, including the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others were unable to move in the way that others around them had that ability. And those very same people that I described to you became some of the elite amongst the Prophet ﷺ Sahaba. In a beautiful hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you're going to study the Qur'an, I want you to think about this, if you're going to learn the Qur'an and I'm not here to teach you, either you want somebody who will teach it to you the way I received it from Allah, the way I taught it to them, if you want to have that Qur'an in the same way as it was revealed, خُذُ الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ أَرْبَعَ. Take it from one of these four people. The first of them. Each one of those four had a disability. The first of them is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a small, statured, short, slim man that if a wind blew that was strong, it would blow him up into a tree. He was so small and thin that his feet, when the wind blew him, as he was climbing up a tree, the wind kind of exposed his saq, his leg. And the Sahaba, seeing him up on the tree, they nudged each other and they said, انظروا إلى دقة ساقيه. Look how small his feet are. Look how tiny the man is. And the Prophet ﷺ smiled and he said, أتعجبون من دقة ساقيه فإنها يوم القيامة مثل أحد. You are shocked at how small he is, how skinny, how seemingly weak he is physically. On the day of judgment, one of his feet will have the size of Uhud in reward. The mountain of Uhud is 18 kilometers in its diameter. That same Allah ibn Mas'ud is also the person who brought an end to the life of the most despicable man who was an enemy of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in the fame of Abu Jahl. In the Battle of Badr, the one who stood and faced Abu Jahl, who was described as a mountain of a man, was this small, skinny, short battle with his faith, not his body. And in fact, in the final words of Abu Jahl, he said, "Iltaqamta, you've stood upon a mountain, yabni ummi abd. You are nothing more than the son of a woman who gave birth to slaves." He was still insulting him. But the name of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud remains because it's attached to faith and to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is Salim, Mawla Abi Hudhayfa. That word in Arabic, Mawla Abi Hudhayfa, means the freed slave of Hudhayfa, Abi Hudhayfa, radiallahu anhum. He knew what to wear, what to eat, when to sleep, even when to go to the bathroom or not. His ability to choose was taken. And he was born into enslavement and bondage. And yet even with that, he became an elite from the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then comes Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was a young man from the Ansar, from the tribe of the Khazraj. He accepted Islam at the young age of 15, 16, maybe 17 years old. In fact, he believed in the Prophet ﷺ before even seeing him. And he journeyed from Yathrib, which then was known as Yathrib, it became Al-Madinah, traveled to Mecca to meet the Prophet ﷺ and give Bay'at al-Aqaba, promise to believe in the Messenger ﷺ if he comes to Medina. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was crippled. He used to walk aided. He wasn't able to move in the same way that other people are able to move. He was a person who had an impaired ability in his mobility. And yet the Prophet ﷺ says, when you take the Quran, take it from his likes, from somebody who's willing to travel the desert, although he is not in the full function of others, just to meet me and believe in me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, when the Prophet came to choose his ambassador, see, usually ambassadors, they're supposed to be the face of the president or the king. In this case, somebody more important. In this case, it's Muhammad, the last messenger of Allah. You would think that who's handsome, who's intelligent, who's wealthy, who's able-bodied, I want to choose somebody that no one will have any fault with, so that when they say, I'll be a Muslim, because this person looks the part. But in the final months of the Prophet's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he chooses Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who was a young man. And he says to Mu'adh, I'm sending you to the people of Yemen, a whole country. Whatever you call them to, begin with the word of La ilaha illallah. Let them understand what we believe and who I am. Muhammad Rasulullah. And if they accept it, teach them prayer. If they accept it, teach them zakah. If they accept it, teach them fasting. Teach them hajj. He was the ambassador of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One of the stories I was studying with my year 8 students is the story of Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum. And all of them, they will remember that this is the story of the blind man that Allah speaks about in Abasa wa Tawalla. A person who was unable to see, and because he was asking to hear more about faith, people would continually lead him away from where the Messenger of Allah was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because Iman was so important to him in his heart, he would wander the streets of Mecca, raising his voice, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, akhbirni an Rabbik. Muhammad, Muhammad, tell me about your Lord. I want to come into his. And when the chiefs of Mecca were sitting with the Prophet ﷺ, and they were disgusted because a person who they considered lowly, simply because of an impediment in his life that he could not see from birth, they said, سَوَيْتَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ أَرَذِلُونَ. Enter a faith like this blind man wants to enter it. We are above him and better than him. And those were the same people who remain in the punishment and in the curse of Allah today, while the name of Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum remains celebrated. There's a chapter of the Quran revealed about his story that you and I seek to learn and memorize and take lessons from. The lesson that I share with you today is that in your mind and in your heart are the only limitations that exist. There is nothing that you cannot do that somebody else has done. SubhanAllah, sometimes you'll see something on the news and you say, wow, I could never do that. And that's the reason you could never do that. It's not because your body isn't built to do it, or your mind does not have the capacity to think in that way or to design in that way. It's not that you're unable to do it. It's that you believe you can't achieve. And if you look at your test scores, or if you see anything in your life that you want to improve in, whether it's your physical shape, whether it's your studies, whether it's your ability to read the Quran properly with tajweed, whether it's to make more friends or to move away from those who are not nice and toxic in their relationship with you, whether it's to help those who are near you or far, whether it's to become a millionaire or not, it rests with what you believe you can achieve. And everything has a mindset. Everything has a thought. And it's for that reason the Prophet ﷺ tells us that Allah said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنَّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am as my servant thinks of me. SubhanAllah. Allah will be for you what you believe Allah will be. If you think about Allah as the one who's going to punish you, the one who's unkind to you, the one who's not answering your dua, the one who isn't giving you what you want, if you think of Allah as not being generous to you, then this is what has resulted in your life, not because that is Allah. And if you believe Allah to be forgiving, if you believe Allah to be generous, that Allah is answering to your dua, what you will see in your life is what you believe about Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reinforces this regularly to us in the Quran. He says to us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, aminu. O ye who believed, believe. It's an amazing verse. O ye who have already accepted faith, believe again. Restart your iman. Recommit in your salah. Recalibrate your mindset about who I am and how I will deal with you in life. After this, I will leave you with a short hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in the next khutbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to use our abilities that we have with us to the fullest of their purpose, to save us from using them in haram, and to make us from those who are successful in the dunya and akhirah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم استغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب اللهم صل على نبينا محمد الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. What you think is really important, and what you cause other people to think is just as important. And I end with this authentic hadith about two men who were like brothers. They loved each other the way brothers love each other. They were the best friends to each other. One of them was a righteous person. He used to pray and fast and give charity. He was always doing everything that Allah asked when Allah asked it. Everything was done. His best friend, أخاً له, his best friend, like his own brother, felt that he was like his own brother, كان مقصر. He was always a little bit behind. There was prayers that he would be late for. There was charity that he wouldn't give. There were moments that he wouldn't concentrate as much as he should in his actions as a believer. And his friend who did everything right would look at him and say, أَقْصِرْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ لَكَ أَبَدًا. Stop! Allah will never forgive you. If you don't stop this, لَا يُدْخِلَكَ الْجَنَّةِ. You have no hope of ever going to paradise. Be a better person. Get your act together. Stop! Allah will not show you mercy. You won't enter Jannah this way. His friend who misses some of the good deeds would turn to him and say, خَلِّي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ رَبِّي. Leave me to the mercy of Allah. I believe Allah will be forgiven. I'm trying my best. Leave me to Allah's mercy. مَا جَعَلَكَ عَلَيَّ وَكِيلٌ. He didn't make you the policeman over me. And eventually they die, and on the day of judgment, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَبَعَثَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will bring them and they will stand in front of Him on the day of judgment. And Allah will say to the one who was praying and was fasting and was doing all the good deeds, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لَهُ. Did you used to say to your friend, أَقْصِرْ, stop, فَإِنِّي لَا أَغْفِرُ لَهُ, that I will never forgive him, وَلَا أُدْخِلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ, that I will not give him Jannah. أَقَدْ مَلَّكْتَكَ أَمْرِي. Did I give my power to you that you decide who's right and wrong for Jannah? أَوْ أُتِيتَ عِلْمًا مِنْ عِنِّي. Did you see the names of the people of Jannah? What gave you the power that you could put hate and put weakness into the heart of my abd, of my servant, who felt that I would be merciful to them, who hoped for my mercy? فَاشْهَدْ أَنِّي غَفَرْتُ لَهُ. I show you today that I forgive him everything. وَأَنْتَ لَكَ النَّارُ. But you enter hellfire. The one who prayed, the one who fasted, the one who did good deeds, the one who thought of himself as better than others, you enter hellfire because you put in the heart of my servant a closed door to my mercy until that's cleansed from your record. What you think is important, and what you make other people think is important. How you think of Allah, how you think of Allah's mercy and justice and love and hope in His mercy is a powerful way for you to become a better person. It's not an excuse to miss your prayer and say, Allah will be forgiving. But it gives you hope to know that Allah is forgiving as long as we turn to Him, seeking Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to Him. May Allah forgive us our sins, aid us in our quests for success and happiness in this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us supports to each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our staff and our students, our parents and our teachers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist you to all that which is good. Lead our principal and board to that which is pleasing to Him, and turn us away and them from haram. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma izzal Islam wal muslimin. Wakhdhil a'da ka a'da ad-deen. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdihim ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Hatha wa sallu ala al-habibi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد.